person is going to share their thoughts with us tonight. One of my favorite people. I know everybody here would feel the same way. And if you don't know him, give yourself a chance to get to know him. He's wild and crazy, which means he's very educational. And with all that wild and crazy, watch him over there flirting with Lindy. You're the one who needs to get the pink hair. Wouldn't he look cute with a pink mustache and pink chin hair, huh? And his head bald with that little strip of pink around there. What do you say? You know, actually, he's probably one of the nicest men on this earth, I think, anyway. And he's helped an awful lot of people. And I enjoy hearing his thoughts. And, you know, we don't look for speakers here. We look for people that talk from their heart. And this man talks from his heart. And he is growing in leaps and bounds. And I know God upstairs is clapping his hands. So George Thorne is going to share thoughts with us tonight. And there he is. Georgie Porgy pudding and pie. Kissed the girls and made them cry for more. That's him. That's George. George, you could come around, honey. Everybody, hold Lindy in our prayers, kids. You know, everybody that's here already knows that she's got Parkinson's, and it's a pretty hard thing to handle. But look at that beautiful face on hers. I've never heard her complain, not once. And that's a hard row she's hoeing there. And she's absolutely sweet and wonderful. And while we're here, just load her up with love, because love is healing. And watch this guy up here now go around this way, because he's dangerous.
I want to make sure it's on. I can hear. Well, thank you, Millie. I would like to share with you something tonight that I think is a great truth, but it's almost a hidden secret. But before I get to that, I want to talk about another truth. That is the truth of our dear, beloved Reverend Millie, that there's another side to her a lot of people don't know. Right? I go to breakfast with this lady, and I'm looking in the menu, and she and I are just sitting here talking, have a wonderful time, right? I look up, and she's in the arms of another man. Not once, but twice. And I'm going, what am I, chop liver? Apparently so. And I think the word is fickle. Now, Arnie, would you agree? Huh? She is one awesome lady. Now, the truth that I want to talk to you about, it means a great deal to me, and it's played a lot in my life, and it's something that I'm almost compelled to talk about. It's the focus of my work, and that is that God is good, and so are you. And the truth of the matter is that you are part of God. Your hands, your head, your feet, your heart, you are part of God. And I think that's very important for us all to know. But I also believe, and it's something that intellectually we know, but I don't know that we always feel it deep in our soul. And I think there's a lot of reasons why. I almost think there's a conspiracy around it. It's not, but there is. One, we live in a very materialistic world. We don't see it. If you can't see it, you don't believe it. And that kind of goes counter to what God is all about. God and things like love and some other things that are really more important. Secondly is the legacy of our parents, who give us their strengths, but they also pass along their frailties and their weaknesses, and we own some of that. And we can forgive them, but it's good for us to acknowledge that effect. Thirdly is, I call it, the culture of psychology. And that is, we live in a world where everybody knows these terms, But it's all, a lot of times, so based on negative, isn't it? That it's, you're an egotist, or you're a narcissistic, or you're rigid, or you're this or that. And it all has a very negative connotation to it a lot. And fourthly, and I want to be careful how I say this, I think one of the reasons that keeps us from God is many churches. I certainly don't mean this one. I'd like to give you an example. A year ago, I was fortunate enough, we went to visit our son in Amsterdam. He was going to school over there. And he took us to a little town outside of Amsterdam, of all things, called Haarlem. And there's this beautiful church there. And I thought I'd go in and sit down and see what it was like, because the last time I was there, I was not there, but in Europe, went to a lot of churches, and I was many years ago, and I was kind of in a different frame of mind and doing a lot of partying and a lot of other things. So I thought, with all my spiritual work, I'll go sit inside this church, and I'm going to feel real close to God. I'm going to feel very spiritual. Well, I went in and sat down. The church was magnificent. But ironically, I felt just the opposite. I felt small and insignificant. I felt very cold and alone. And I looked around. I looked up. Ceiling's about 20 feet high, if not 20 stories, it seemed like. Length of a football field. And then it dawned on me. I think some of this was done on purpose to keep us small and God big. And then the control, I have to go through somebody else to get to God. I don't mean to criticize anybody. I don't mean that. It's not what I'm saying. But the effect on us, I think, is huge. I really do. And as many of you know, I've shared my story here many times, both my old story and my new one. And my old story is that I went through a lot of addictions and alcoholism and drugs and a lot of other things. And when I let go of all of that, then I found out I'd been abused as a kid, which I didn't know most of my life. And I really fell apart. Fell apart for a lot of years. And I just didn't know what to do. I was very at wit's end. I started going to the beach with my dog. And again, I'd been an agnostic, if not an atheist, all my life. I didn't believe in any of this stuff. But I started to look every day and see the world through a different lens. The seagulls were flying in formation. The porpoises were in a single row. The waves were rolling in and out very methodically, very rhythmically. And I saw there was intelligence behind it. There was beauty behind it that I couldn't believe. And not long after that, I was introduced to this lady over here, Reverend Millie. And I swear she said something to me that she's only said 8,000 or 10,000 times. George, God is love. God is love. Those are the very first words she spoke to me. And it so shook me because I'd never heard that. I always thought of church as big buildings and God as, you know, fire and brimstone and a man, you know, up in the sky. And when I heard that, it just, something struck me in my heart that just really touched me deeply. And as I always say to Millie, every time I'm up here, and I want to say it now, how do you thank someone for showing you God? And that's what I owe you. I honor you so much. I adore you. You're so wonderful. That's what you've done for me. So after that, not long after that, I started going a little deeper, and I spent 2.5 years in study to become what I call a spiritual life coach. And there I really focused a whole lot on the God in me and the God that is in all of us. And I believe that is the core of our healing. And to the extent that I'm now going to, about 30 days, hopefully, with the help of a dear friend, write a blog that's going to go with my coaching practice. The theme of it is, it's after a Tibetan saying, and it is, I honor the greatness within you. And it's recognizing the divine in each of us. And I think if we added this to the field of psychology, we'd all be a whole lot better off. And the first article I wrote is entitled, What's Right About You? Enough About What's Wrong. And I always joke when I meet with my clients, they always spend their time arguing with me. Because we have this tape that plays in our mind of everything that's wrong based on those things that I mentioned earlier. And we have to let that go. If we can really own that we're part of God. Because again, if God is good, so are we. So this is something that's very important to me. And there's a passage in the Bible in Genesis that says God created man in his image. But we've really turned that around. We've turned that around so that man has created God in his image. And it kind of changes the whole equation. And it's not the truth. We are the image of God. And if God is good, so are you. And if God is powerful, so are you. And if God is love, so are you. And if God is light, so are you. That's the essence of who we are. And I believe this so strongly. And one of the things that I've come to believe even more, that the proof of this is this church. If we aren't part of God, how can you give messages? How can you connect with angels on the other side and feel the presence of your Indian guide? You are made of the same stuff. I think all of this is very important because it has a very human dimension. Many of us, myself included, have a problem loving ourselves, even liking ourselves. And if we don't love ourselves and like ourselves, it makes it tough on relationships. And if we don't love ourselves and like ourselves, oftentimes we don't like other people either. And that's so important because this is where wars start and hate starts and crime begins and addictions begin, is when we don't love and like ourselves. So what I'm here tonight to tell you is, if you want to jumpstart loving yourself, own the fact that you're part of God. Know that deep in your heart. I wrote a second blog called David and Mona Lisa. And it's about Michelangelo's David and Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa. And I'll focus on, make a long story short, I'll focus on Michelangelo, who's always been my hero. A little sidebar. Who else today would lay on their back for 4 years, from 1508 to 1512 to paint the Sistine ceiling? Who would spend 4 years to do anything? Michelangelo did. But he created the statue of David, which is now in a museum in Florence. And I had the honor to see it. It's 14 feet tall. It's just the most incredible human object I have ever seen. Every sinew, every muscle of the human body is contained in this statue. It's so magnificent. And what's even more extraordinary is he created it out of a piece of marble that somebody had already worked on. And this is what he fabricated out of it. And when he completed his statue, people asked him, you know, and the praise rolled in and the adulation. How did you do this? And he said, I saw an angel inside, and I kept carving away the extra marble and to set the angel free. I think that is a powerful metaphor for our lives. You need to set your angel free because that's the truth of who you are. In closing, I'd like to say something that I've done before, and I'd like to do it again. There is a song that I think most of you know. I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ comes shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O holy child of God. You all know, most of you know that, right? I would like you to find a partner, someone sitting next to you, grab their hands, and I'm very serious. And I would like you to say those words. Look into their heart, look into their mind, say those words. And when you're done, let the other person, listen, and then let the other person say it back to you. Are you ready? Are you ready? I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ comes shining through. I am blessed to be with you. O holy child of God. Turn it around, and the other one say it. I feel the love of God in you. Oh, you already did it? Okay. Okay. I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ comes shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O Holy Child of God. Do what? Arnie, for you, anything. Well, okay, you ready? Go. Do you need help? Or you need help? I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ comes shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O Holy Child of God. I could give a whole nother talk on the man who just came in the room who changed my life, and he knows I love him dearly. So the last thing I want to say to you is I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ is shining through. I am blessed to be with each of you, you children of God. Thank you very much.